through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Tom, Jake, and Stacy, and guess what? We're rounding in on week two, and it's Sunday Night Football. Seahawks with, obviously, the league's best record in primetime games. Feeling pretty good about this one, Jake.
Feeling great about this one. Now, this is going to be a really fun matchup, Stacy. Now, there were some questions about the air quality. We thought it was going to be out of the way here earlier in the week, and it just has continued to keep lingering and lingering. And we had people in New England hitting us up and asking us if we thought there was going to be a game. And
trying to offer to have Seattle come there. Are you guys sure you don't want to play at Gillette?
Exactly. No, we're going to keep it at CenturyLink Field. It's going to be fine. We've got Brady Henderson from ESPN tweeting out that, hey, it's going to be all good on Sunday. So with that out of the way, this is going to be a really fun matchup, Stacey, a big one.
It will absolutely be a big matchup because there are a couple big storylines heading into the game. I always love some of the same storylines that pop up whenever the Seahawks play the Patriots, one of which being, hey, you have two of the best NFL coaches in the league going head to head. In fact, in cut number three, do we have that? Okay. You have Belichick and Carroll, who I was just speaking with Ursula on our sister station, Cairo FM, earlier, who said, hey, you would think that these two coaches are so different. And of course, on 710 ESPN Seattle, we're so used to recognizing that they're actually quite similar and they have very similar approaches to the game, Jake.
Then so are we getting here in cut number three here?
We are working on sound right now.
Okay.
We'll get cut number three in a second.
Okay. So when we, technical difficulties, excuse us, here when we got these two great coaches, I mean, arguably the two best in football. I think some people could argue that, you know, Pete Carroll may not be, but in my mind, I think you look at Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll from the AFC and the NFC, their run of success has been second to none. And you look at these guys, the defensive-minded head coaches, they are very different in their personalities, but maybe in the way that they run their programs isn't so different after all. And I think it's going to be really fun, always fun, to see these guys go head-to-head because they're great statisticians of the game. They're great they're very great from a strategic point of things. So they look at all the numbers. They look at the matchups. They put it all together, and it's always going to be a tough one when you go up against New England.
Another one of my favorite storylines. This one a little newer though, Jake. It's whether or not they're going to cook or not cook this weekend, because our question heading into the start of the season was, are they going to let Russ cook? And again, like I'll debate this topic endlessly. But this was Brian Schottenheimer saying, hey, the game plan is going to evolve each week.
We realize he's a tremendous player, and we've got great players around him. We want to give him those opportunities, but it's going to be game planned each and every week.
Now, Jake, I see the hesitancy in airing it out versus the Patriots secondary in particular. It's a totally different monster than you had against Atlanta, where that's a weakness of their team. Now you're talking about a defense that had three interceptions last week against Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is there a risk in doing this, though?
Look, the New England Patriots secondary is good. There's no question about that. They're a very good secondary. But let's not be fearful because all of a sudden the Miami Dolphins struggled against the New England Patriots. That Ryan Fitzpatrick threw three interceptions. No offense to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I love, and I think he's a great guy.
Fun fact. I don't know if anyone
went to Harvard, but also was a great mentor to me my rookie year when I was with him at with the New York Jets. But Ryan Fitzpatrick's not Russell Wilson. okay? And the Miami Dolphins don't have the same level of weaponry as the Seattle Seahawks do. So to come into this game and be scared or to be nervous to air the ball out and to not trust Russell Wilson to take care of the football and make good decisions, I think would be giving the opponent way too much credit. Do you want to take advantage of the matchups and the advantages that you have? Absolutely. But I don't think it should be going so far to go against completely what you did in week one, which was wildly successful. I do expect to see more of Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson, Stacey, but keep the tempo up, allow Russell Wilson to keep making great decisions at the line of scrimmage. So I think there's not going to be as much cooking as week one.
Some sautéing.
Yes, some sautéing. It should not be.
Maybe a flambé.
It should not go from, you know, one dramatic to the next.
We're going to get into this a bit more at 12:45 when we look at our three big questions heading into the game. The number one question there being whether or not they're going to air it out versus New England. Last little storyline here that we're going to get into later before we get to our big, obviously bold take Friday trademark takes is what the defense is going to look like against a Patriots offense that now has Cam Newton under center and cut number two right here. Pete Carroll says it looks like they're running the ball a little more with Cam.
The Patriot team ran the ball 42 times and threw it 19 times. You know, now they've done that at times rarely, but not with Tom Brady that often. And so there's a difference in that commitment right there. And they've got a quarterback that's got extraordinary talents, and they utilized him and they got themselves really a very, very commanding win.
Now, as a reminder for anyone who missed week one's game between the Patriots and Miami, Cam had two rushing touchdowns, I think like 70 or something rushing yards. As a reminder for anyone who's not a football fan, Cam Newton is 12 feet tall, and so it's going to be very difficult to stop him, Jake.
It is going to be difficult to stop him, and Cam is a unique talent, as Seahawks fans know, as the Seahawks know themselves after seeing him so often here over the years. But I think when you look at the New England Patriots, they are dedicated to this running game. They don't have a lot of dynamic special weapons on the outside in the passing game. Everything is going to be predicated off of the success of this run game. So are they going to throw different things at the Seahawks that they haven't seen? Yes. Is the Seahawks going to have to adjust on the fly? Yes, they are. And if I'm Bill Belichick and I'm looking at the Seahawk defense, I am pounding the rock. I think this run defense is its greatest weakness, and I'm going to try to exploit that. I'm going to try and win the time of possession. I'm going to try and keep the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands and do my best to keep this game as close as possible.
It's an exciting, exciting show for us today. We've got a lot of fun stuff coming up. Again, getting into a bit more of a preview coming up here at 12:45, plus some news out of the Pac-12 coming up at 1:45. But first, it's time, the day you all wait for every single week, for Bold Take Friday. Trademark.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
Jake, it's the segment where we bring the heat. I need to know what your bold take, trademark, prediction is for this Sunday's game against the Patriots.
Okay, Stacey, I just sat there and I just told you that the biggest weakness of this team, or at least the defense for the Seahawks, is its run defense, and particularly the defensive line. You know that that's what the Patriots are going to come in here and try to do. They had over 200 yards rushing against the Miami Dolphins. Cam Newton was their leading rusher, had two rushing touchdowns. My bold take, Stacey, is despite all that, the Seahawks run defense will hold the Patriots to under 100 yards rushing.
Wow.
Yeah, I said it. 100 yards rushing, okay?
Okay.
This is very bold, right? Because
is it
of all the reasons that I just said? It's this greatest weakness. Yes, Stacey, it is.
I'm just saying I have
know
a bolder take.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't.
But continue.
You firmly believe that the Patriots are going to do more than this, okay?
Okay.
But I think that the Patriots are one-dimensional as an offense right now. If they don't come in and are unable to establish the run, I don't think everything else works. The RPO game doesn't work for Cam. Cam Newton isn't the greatest drop-back passing quarterback, right? I'm not nervous about Cam Newton coming in here and slicing and dicing our secondary if the run game is not working. The Seahawks know this, right? And they have the talent from Jamal Adams, Bobby Wagner, a veteran group. But that defensive line is going to need to step up and hold the line of scrimmage down. And if they do so, they've got a chance to not just win, but have a blowout win.
It's a really interesting point, Jake. I think what I like about both of our bold takes, I'm about to say mine, is that I think they both stem from the same basic bit of information. For me, that came from our interview with Paul Perillo in a special Wednesday edition of The Huddle, where I said, hey, what's the rest of the Patriots offense look like? We know that Cam Newton had 70-odd yards on the ground and had two rushing touchdowns. Sony Michel adds another. You know that they've got some talent in there, but what's the receiving game like? And I was expecting that he would say, like, well, I was surprised to see Julian Edelman leading the pack, but he wasn't. He said basically Edelman's the only guy we have. I like this because it's the same basic thing that, hey, this offense could potentially be one-dimensional, but it led to two very different bold takes, some bolder than others. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, my bold take for Bold Take Friday trademark is that the Hawks defensive backs will have more interceptions than New England. And do I think that that will happen? That's not really a yes or no question, Jake. You know, it's difficult to answer.
Is that bold?
It is bold.
You think Russell Wilson is going to throw multiple interceptions, Stacey? I mean, come on.
No. Thank you so much. No, I think that the Seahawks defensive backs have a chance to take advantage of a quarterback that's still building new chemistry with his new receivers and of a receiver room that doesn't look especially stacked. I think that the Seahawks are a better offense. And I also think that now you're going to have Quentin Dunbar, a couple other guys coming out here with a little more confidence this time around. How do you like them apples, as they say in Boston, movie?
It's not bolder. It's not bolder than mine.
I don't know.
But I do like it, Stacey, and I do agree that I do think that you see this secondary become more aggressive. They become more confident, and the reason for that being is also what I was talking about before, Stacey, is that the New England Patriot offense is not a dynamic one in the sense that they've got weapons everywhere. They are going to be a problem for this defense. The reason why is because you don't know what to prepare for. They could throw out a number of different new run game schemes, different styles of passing concepts. Bill Belichick and McDaniels are tremendous game-to-game planners, week-to-week game planners, and I think that that's something that they can utilize to their strength. But it only works for so long, and I think the Seahawks are going to feel confident that they can, you know, press up the receivers at the line of scrimmage. Julian Edelman's really the only guy that I look at and say, yeah, he could do some damage, but that's about it.
Okay, I'm getting a couple texts in from the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Stacey just created Unbold Takes Friday. First of all, don't even bother trademarking that because it's not going to stick. Secondly, Stacey, this is a bland take. I do like your use of instead of bold. But what I'll tell you is that the Patriots had, I can't say it because I'm going to ruin the Pats quiz we have coming up, but the Patriots secondary is fire. They had three interceptions last week. I'm not saying that Russell Wilson is going to throw interceptions. That's not what I'm predicting. But I'm also saying that the Seahawks defensive backs, who had one interception at the very end of the game on what was essentially a Hail Mary, are going to get more interceptions than one of the best secondary units in football right now. That is a fire take, you guys. I almost didn't make it because it was too bold. Let's get to three questions.
It's time for Three Questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 12 after 12, Tom Wassel's burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Enough with the "we gotta protect the kids" nonsense.
Last season and this season, the Patriots kind of have one of the best secondaries without really the name recognition. Can any of you two name all of the Pats' defensive backs?
All of them, Jake.
You want me to go first?
I would love. I already know the answer. I'm going to go ahead and let you take that. I'll give you Stephon Gilmore.
Okay, Stephon
Gilmore.
There's
a McCourty.
You got Jason McCourty. You got Devin McCourty. You got Adrian Phillips.
That's
what
I said.
Kyle Duggar comes in nickel and dime situations. And don't forget about Terrence Brooks, who's also a dime safety. So the New England Patriots, although they might not be star-studded, Stacey, I do know who they are, right? I get prepared for this, all right? Who do you think I am?
Exactly.
Right? This is a group that, when you look at it, it's very much predicated off of the secondary. They build from the back forward. They are a very good, disciplined group. But it's amazing how you can have a safety like Kyle Duggar or Adrian Phillips, who was a former All-Pro, but still in his first year, look very good in terms of, you know, being assignment sound and really working together well. They love to play dime. And I think for the Seahawks, that's a reason why you're going to see them try and explore the run game and see what the success could look like. But also, think about this. You've got three really good tight ends. And I think that there could be some mismatch opportunities there for the Seahawks against maybe a smaller group, or try and force them to get out of their norm instead of staying in dime and in nickel the way they want. Force them to get into base where they have lesser coverage guys at the linebacker position.
Imagine our conversation leaving week two that, like, the Patriots, you know, they just couldn't stay with their base defense. They really needed to do it. Typical base defense, strength of the NFL. Question number two.
Number two.
Mariners general manager Jerry DePoto put any speculation about Jared Kelenic and Logan Gilbert to rest on Danny Gallant. He said they're going to stay disciplined.
That's right.
Is this the right move?
Absolutely it is. Yesterday, you and Curtis were going against me, Jake, and you guys were saying, why wouldn't they bring him up? They could add some fire. Let's get this going. They're, what are they now, two games back or so after this loss? Like at the time, they were right there. And why not bring him up? What's the harm? Jared Kelenic isn't lacking for confidence. It's kind of a weird season. And what did I do? I said, look, I'm being Vern from Stand By Me right now, which is my role is to be the very nerdy kind of, like, you know, suck up kind of like, oh, you guys, we're gonna get in trouble. But that's how I felt about that moment. I said, stick to your guns. You're in a rebuild year. Why ruin it for some random chance to go for, you know, a World Series run or a run at the postseason? Like, stick to your plan. And they are. And that's why me and Jerry DePoto would be two phenomenal GMs of a baseball team. I see us as being kind of one and the same.
Oh, you do? Well, here's the thing. I think that it's a nice, responsible move, and I don't knock it. Okay, I'm not sitting here saying, man, this is the absolute worst move. If this was your plan to begin with, okay, I appreciate you sticking to your guns and sticking with what you think is best for Kelenic's and Gilbert's long-term future. However, don't hold back somebody that's ready to go. I think that Kelenic has a personality and a game and a skill set that would handle being at the big league level and would provide some juice to your roster. It provide a better bat for your roster. And guess what? They brought up Kyle Lewis last year. How did that work out for them? Right? Kyle showed that he could play and be a, have potential star talent, have power with his bat, and we were all wondering if that could translate to this year. Well, that experience last year that he had at the end of the year was a major confidence booster, and I believe a huge reason why he's able to have the season that he had. So what he got to lose in 12 games of the season? Is Kelenic and Gilbert's confidence that brittle that they couldn't handle being up with the big league club for 12 games? I think that that's the question that I have.
I think that they would have had way more at-bats had you had a regular season here. And I think that people are thinking that, like, well, what's the harm? He would have come up in August anyways, maybe. But I just think, like, he hasn't had anywhere near the kind of experience he would have. Why hurt in his development if he's going to be this, like, integral part of your team moving forward? You guys, I am, by the way, not getting away from any of this heat on the Vizzyard Seltzer text line from my take. You guys are all drastically underestimating just how lethal the Patriots secondary is, and you're also, like, overestimating how, like, interception prone Cam Newton is. He was 15 of 17 last week. He didn't have a touchdown, but he had a 100 passer rating. And you guys, I'm telling you guys, like, look at the stats before you try to come at me. That's all I'm saying. Question number three.
Number three.
Well, one Jim Moore says the Seahawks may suffer more than any other team without fans. Are you guys buying that?
I think there's two sides that you could take here. For me, the side that I'm going to take is, yeah, I do think that the Seahawks are going to suffer without fans. And the reason why is because it's such a staple of playing in CenturyLink Field. There is such a unique relationship and connection with the players in the 12s that is real, right? People can look at it and say it's phony, or, you know, hey, 12s, they think they're so important. When they really don't matter. No, it's legit. It's true. The players on that team value tremendously the fan base and the energy that they bring in games. Now, last year, you look at the win-loss column in terms of how successful they've been in recent years at CenturyLink Field, and it would surprise you. the fact that they haven't been as good as you would think they would be at home and have a true home field advantage. But I think that has more to do with the lack of a defense and the conservative nature that they played rather than actually factoring in crowd noise and how it makes it difficult on opposing offenses.
Yeah, I don't think it makes a difference that's drastically different. That's an awkward phrasing for the Seahawks versus any other team. I think that the Seahawks, in our minds, have benefited from one of the best home field advantages, but I think we look at it as like maybe one of the best home field experiences. It's an exceptionally loud stadium. It's a stadium with a lot of juice, a lot of energy, but I don't think that will drastically impact what they're able to do this year because they're a really, really good team, a really solid team. I don't think that they need like the fans on their side the way that a team, that could have a good home field advantage but is like an 8-8 type talent would. So I think it's a bummer that you don't get to have fans out there to see someone like Jamal Adams with his first game. I always loved, as a reporter, hearing about a player's first experience out at CenturyLink after whether being a rookie or after hearing about it when he was on another team and then actually being here. It was always so fun to hear that. So I am kind of bummed for those new guys that they don't get that experience, Jake.
I definitely hear you on that. It is an experience unlike any other, and it's going to be weird, bizarre.
It's going to be weird.
CenturyLink, CenturyLink rocking with the 12s and have the fans out there. But we're all adjusted. We're making adjustments, and it'll be. I'm curious to see what the sound is going to be like. That the guy who is controlling the sound of the crowd and the moments. He's kind of got a big job to do. You think about it, just making sure that the crowd is cheering at the right time, that they're that all the sound is authentic and real. Unsung hero, Stacey.
You know who's an unsung hero? Your girl. This morning, for my bold take, for Bold Take Friday trademark,
no.
I am getting so much hate from the text line. I'm about to stop looking at it because people are so mad at this take. But you know what? That's the sign of a good bold take. That's what it is. When people get so fired up that they tell you that they hate you, that's where that fire is. I love seeing that passion. Bring it. Give me your bold takes.
I love the text on our Fizzy Heart Seltzer text line just saying, Stacey, I love that you're willing to die on this
absolutely
unbold hill.
Absolutely.
And I have to agree. I appreciate that you're willing to stand by your bold take.
Thank you.
And I'm mad that DJ gave the horn to you, that you bullied him into it, because clearly I had the boldest take. The Patriots are going to try to come in and pound the rock and try to, again, have a 200-yard rushing game like they did against the Miami Dolphins. The Seahawks defense, which is a weakness, is going to hold them under 100 yards.
Mike Salk joins us next. We'll see if he has a take to add. This is Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
This hour of Tom, Jake, and Stacey is brought to you by the Pro Club. Mike, I'm going to ask you, of course, about your Bold Take Friday trademark prediction, and we're going to preview a bit of this big primetime game coming up, but I have to let you know just the situation that we're in right now with the texters. Normally, it's a very, very fun atmosphere. We love our listeners. Everyone's having a great time. Right now, Mike, we are under fire, and I'll let you know why. I came out, and my bold take for the day was a very innocent one, but I thought a very bold one. It was that the league's top secondary from last year would have fewer interceptions than the Seattle Seahawks, who, like, ranked, like a top 10 team in total turnovers that fell off at the end of last year, had one at the very end of the game last week. But basically what I'm saying is the Seahawks secondary is going to outperform the Pats secondary, which is, I think, the best in the league. I am getting so much heat for that. But no take on our text line is stronger than one about Jake accusing him of having high forehead corners.
I mean, so what's going on? What's going on today? I mean, Stacey's bold take's under fire. My forehead corners are under fire.
Gosh.
I hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing better than you, Jake. I mean, my forehead looks the way it's supposed to look. I mean, yours is obviously misshapen. You got hair issues. I mean, like, yeah, you're a disaster.
You hate to see it. You do.
Oh, gosh. I tried. I did my hair.
Let me jump in here.
Okay.
On your take,
yes.
Are you saying that the Seahawks will have more interceptions this year than the Patriots or in this game?
I meant in this game, and I'm realizing that what you may hear when I say that is Cam Newton is going to throw more picks than Russell Wilson. And that's literally what that implies. Yes, I understand that. I think it's very obvious Russell Wilson is a better passer than Cam Newton. So I want you to look at the flip side and say, in this game, the Seahawks secondary, which on paper last year was not as good as New England, and New England had three picks last year, that Seattle's secondary will outperform them in this game.
It's certainly a possibility, and I'll say this. They're going to have to. I mean, if the Seahawks want to win this game, that secondary is going to have to play well, but probably even more importantly, their defensive line is going to have to stop the run. I mean, you saw how the Patriots won last week. This is not Tom Brady winging the ball all over the place, sort of the post-2007 Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and everything that has followed since. I mean, this is a different Patriots attack, and if I'm Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, who are the best at looking for an opponent's weakness and trying to attack it and looking at an opponent's strength and trying to not let them use it, I'd be looking at the Seahawks and seeing just how big of a challenge I thought they had stopping Atlanta's running game last week. Now, look, Atlanta struggled in a bunch of different parts of the game, but I thought that just the way the game started with Gurley running over for some real, you know, successful yards, if they had stuck with that in the game, I think Atlanta would have had more success. Now, maybe you could say they got down in the game and they kind of had to open it up. Okay, fine. I don't think the Patriots are going to have that same problem necessarily. So if I'm the Seahawks, that'd be my chief concern this week, is just getting run on. And Sony Michel and Cam Newton, what he can do with his leg, just that Patriots running attack, that seems to be my concern.
Salk, I am right there with you, buddy. And I think that's a great way to look at it. Now, you're going to love my bold take. Because
wow.
My bold take is saying that the Seahawks run defense, although it is the weakness and my concern heading into this week, I think they hold the Pats to under 100 yards rushing. The reason why I say this is because I think that although they have a tremendous running attack and they've got different ways that they can do it, this is a one-dimensional offense. They don't have a tremendous amount of weaponry on the outside. Therefore, the Seahawks very well know what they're going to try and do, and they have enough playmakers in Jamal Adams, Bobby Wagner, and co. that they can get it done. So, very bold.
Yeah, I'll take
right?
the over. I'll take the over on that one. Sorry. I'll take the over on 100 yards rushing.
No, it's okay. That's why it's a bold take.
Yeah, that's bold. That's a little too bold for my taste. That's going from bold into reckless. Jake, I think that's reckless.
Wow. Yeah, you can't just be throwing darts, man.
No, I just don't know that they have the horses up front to stop that. Now, look, you got some advantages. You're here, and the Patriots got to come across the country and deal with that. But the way the Seahawks end up holding the Patriots to under 100 yards rushing is by playing the same kind of offense that they had last week, by getting up big and forcing the Pats to throw. Here's the problem. You're going against Bill Belichick. You don't think Belichick watched what you did last week and has to, you know, try to figure out now what to do to take away some of your weaponry? He'll look at it, figure out what the key is to that offense, and try to take that one thing away and force you to do something else. And we'll find out whether or not the Seahawks are as multiple as they say they are. Right? I mean, I know we saw this week Shoddy saying that, well, that's what we saw on Sunday with Russ cooking and throwing the ball more, but they may decide they want to run the ball more. Well, we'll find out how flexible they really are, because no one in the history of football has ever been better at taking away the thing you want to do most than Bill Belichick is. That's what makes him Bill Belichick.
Right. It's a great point, Salk, and I think it's one that's really interesting, because also one of my concerns is that maybe this offense and this staff is thinking the same thing that you are, and that they go the other way, completely the other way, that they lose some of their aggressiveness. And I think that Belichick, I think that's exactly what he would want, is to have the ball be taken out of Russell Wilson's hands and to, you know, continue to, you know, have a game where you grind it out in the run game on both sides and you make this game very short and close and old school. That's the best chance for Belichick to win. So it's an interesting, delicate balance, and I think that's why you have so much fun with this matchup. What is it about Belichick and Carroll that when these two guys get together, why is it such a fun, exciting matchup?
Well, they've accounted for three great games against each other just since Pete came back to the Seahawks, if you remember. I mean, obviously, you got the Super Bowl loss. You got the come-from-behind win in Seattle in 2012 with Sherman saying to you mad, bro, and the Hail Mary kind of flea flicker play. And then obviously a great win a couple of years ago in Foxborough with Gronk and Cam battling in the final possession at the goal line. So you're right. They've led to really, really good games against each other. Why? Well, the teams have been good. I mean, they've been two of, if not the two best teams in the league for the last 8 years. So they're going to lead to some pretty good games when both teams have played a lot of very good games. And so when they play against each other, it's not a surprise. But the last part is just that I don't know that there are any two coaches in the league more convicted about what they want to do and how they want to do it than Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. Now, what they want to do and how they want to do is very different from each other, right? They have two completely different ideas on how to coach a football team. But I think the reason they respect each other so much has to do with the steadfast ability to stick to their idea and not be influenced by anybody else. And, you know, I've been around both of them. I've spent my time trying to interview Bill Belichick every Monday. That was not particularly fun. I spent my time interviewing Pete Carroll every Monday. That was a lot of fun. But they approach it in their own weird, unique way. But I think there's a lot of respect there. And you talk about the games coming down to the wire. Maybe that's what Belichick wants. I know everyone over the last few years kind of views the Patriots as the Tom Brady big offense, winging the ball all over the place, Patriots. But go back to the early Brady years, 2001 through about 2006. That was not the offense. It was a ball control, right? Antoine Smith, Corey Dillon, run the ball, short screens, wide receiver screens. It was, you know, people called it Mickey Mouse and thought Brady couldn't throw the ball down the field and thought that they were just making up for the fact that he was a liability at times, that was really his only strength. That was the knock on the Patriots, even when they won three Super Bowls in 4 years. So I think Bill Belichick is just as comfortable as Pete Carroll is letting the game come down to a few big plays late. Pete's comfortable because he's got Russell Wilson, and Bill's comfortable because his guys don't make mistakes in big moments.
Mike, I don't know if you were listening the other day, but we kind of borrowed from the Brock and Salk podcast this idea of the pie of I don't know what you would call it, not blame but credit, the credit pie for what you get for the decision to kind of air it out this past Sunday against the Falcons. Specifically, we were looking at the decision to go for it on 4th and 5. That ended up being a 38-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf. I felt like, hey, this is clearly something where Pete Carroll decided to go for it, or Schottenheimer did, but clearly Pete Carroll's fine with it. Jake felt like some of that decision, maybe the bulk of that decision, fell on Russell Wilson. Do you think, my immediate reaction to hearing that was, is it a bad thing to have the quarterback or offensive coordinator do something that blatantly contrasts with what a head coach would want in that moment? Like, wouldn't that normally make you feel kind of nervous?
What I would guess here, and this is just a guess, I would guess that Russell believes that he had a lot to do with that decision, and that Pete is very comfortable with Russell believing that. I'm not convinced that he actually had anything to do with that decision. And that's the way it should be. Russell Wilson in that moment should have enough confidence in his offense to come out and say, no, we're going for it, 4th and 5, let's go. And it's up to Pete Carroll to either agree with him and say, yep, all right, I got confidence in you too. And if you want to let Russell think like it's all his idea, great, that's great coaching. But ultimately, Russell's going to say that on every 4th and 5, and Pete's going to have to make a decision on whether or not he's actually going to listen to him. So I would say it's a lot on Pete, but I'll also say this. I know Pete's gotten a rep as a conservative coach over the last few years, yada, yada. Nobody likes to go for it on 4th down more than Pete.
Really?
He loves making crazy.
No,
hair.
No. So come on,
like
man.
That. You remember Pete? I mean, I remember Pete talking years ago about how he would get hormonal. That was his word. Oh, yeah, I just got hormonal. It's like, I don't know if you want to say that, but that was Pete's word
but go
about
for
some
it.
Of the odd decisions he would make about going for it on fourth down. Pete Carroll's the same guy who had his punter throw a pass to his backup right tackle near halftime of the NFC Championship game.
In 2000,
the same guy who had John Ryan fake a punt on fourth down, run down the middle of the field, and then get knocked loopy because he couldn't hang on to the ball anymore. There's another game, I can't remember, it was going towards the north end zone where Pete made some crazy going for it on fourth down decision from about the 30-40 yard line where it completely backfired on him. So Pete will get excited about being aggressive. Generally, he's the one who needs to be talked back from it.
Interesting. All right, Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, guys, be bold today. Be very bold. Have a good weekend.
Be bold. Be bold, you guys. All right, are we going to see the Hawks be bold and air it out versus a much different monster this week? That's coming up next on Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
As a reminder, it is Bold Take Friday on Tom, Jake, and Stacey. Send those in on the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, 710-710, or you can text them. Jake has a tweet up. If you respond to that, it's at JT Heaps 9. We'll get to those at the end of this segment. But we're going to get this started by looking at an article I wrote for 710sports.com. This isn't just focusing on me. I think there's three good questions here for the Hawks-Pats game, and I would love to get some input from you guys and from Jake here. So the first question I'm going to focus on is the obvious one. Are the Hawks going to air it out versus a Pats secondary that is significantly better than Atlanta's? Now, we already know that Pete Carroll said that he wants to hand it off to the running backs more this game. He said our guys need more touches, so we can already anticipate that we're not going to see the same kind of ratio of run pass that we saw in last week's game, which was like a little over a 2-to-1 split. Are we going to see, though, Seattle throw it on early downs, throw a little more in the first half? That's still something that has to be decided. But we know that they're going to be kind of changing their approach and altering their approach, Jake.
Yeah, we know they're definitely going to alter their approach heading into this week. They're not going to air it out versus the best secondary in the NFL. I think that they'll still take their shots and take their opportunities, and hopefully they don't lose that aggressiveness, as you said, Stacey. But they are going to change here. And I think that when you look at some of the you know, talk and conversation, you hear, you know, Brian Schottenheimer here in cut number one talking about how the game plan, it's going to evolve each week.
We realize he's a tremendous player, and we've got great players around him. We want to give him those opportunities, but it's going to be game planned each and every week.
So game plan each and every week, and you hear the talk from the coaches, your talk from Russell Wilson, it is leading to, hey, we're going to try and maybe ground and pound here on the New England Patriots because we've seen that they've struggled, especially late in the year in that playoff game versus Derrick Henry. They really struggled against the run. But I also would caution this, is that I also think that Belichick would prefer that. I think he would prefer if the Seahawks were really trying to, you know, pound it in the ground game because here in cut number six, I mean, Bill Belichick doing, you know, what he does best, he gives lays on a huge amount of praise to his opponents. But I think there's something very real to what he's saying here in cut number six.
Lockett's, you know, been a go-to guy for him in all phases of the game, return game and offensively. Metcalf, now they got Olsen, you know, Carson's probably runs as hard as anybody in the league. So, I mean, there are a lot of weapons there, and I could go on and on. Offensive line, Brown. I mean, they got, you know, they have a lot of good players that are hard to handle when you put them all together, and it's orchestrated by Wilson. They're very, very hard to defend.
So I think when you take the ball out of your best player's hands, the guy who makes it so difficult on defenses at all times, the New England Patriots were using Miles Bryant, former UW nickel corner. He's now with the New England Patriots. He was out there. They were practicing and having him simulate Russell Wilson and his scramble ability, they're worried about Russ. And I think if you run the ball, I think it's a good thing to do versus this group, Stacey. But I also wonder if you're playing right into the way Bill Belichick wants this game to go.
I mean, you're obviously playing into what he's expecting you to do, because even we, I'm not going to count you in this as someone who is a former player, but even as someone who hasn't played the game, like, you kind of anticipate, you look at the basics. Well, the run defense, as Paul Perillo told us, is an Achilles heel for the Patriots defense. Why would you not run it against them? And I'm someone that, you know, like, raise your hand if you had fun watching Russell Wilson air it out last week. I'm raising your hand. Don't raise your hand if you're driving, but I know you would probably like to. It was really fun to see. But I also really, really enjoy seeing Chris Carson get involved. Like, I'm not necessarily a pass it for the sake of passing it type person. I think Russell Wilson is your best player. You want to get it in his hands. But by having Carson run with it, are you necessarily just playing into what they want you to do if they're legitimately worse at defending that?
No, it's a good point. And if it's something that they genuinely struggle with, you're not playing into their hands. The reason why I say that, Stacey, is Bill Belichick wants to keep this game close. And the way to keep the game close is to shorten the game. And if you have both sides, which very well could be, both sides going into this game saying that we want to try and run the football and establish the run, we're looking at a very quick, under 3 hour type of game here, and it's not going to be a high scoring affair. And I think for the Patriots, that's exactly the realm that you want to be in, because this Seahawk offense, Stacey, has the capability to be dynamically explosive. And if the Patriots can't establish the run the way they want to, and they can't contain Russell Wilson the way they want to, this could be a blowout win, surprisingly, with a great coach like Bill Belichick. Because why? For the first time in a long time, I think that their talent, because of, you know, players opting out of COVID, losing numerous key players defensively and offensively to free agency, they are talent deficient. Doesn't mean they don't have good players. It doesn't mean that they don't have good players, but they are not as deep as they have been in the past.
Let's hit one more topic here. There's three questions. You can read the full article on 710sports.com. But I want to get to this one right before we read a couple of your bold takes for Bold Take Friday trademark. Can the defense win the day versus Cam Newton? I'm going to play you a cut, and then, Jake, I want you to tell me what you think. So first, cut number four right here is Carol saying just how hard it is to prepare to face Cam Newton.
We've seen Cam run every play that you could run over all these years, you know, and so there's a wide variety of things that he does and can do, and but they did show a willingness to run, you know, run him downhill and run him like a, you know, in a wildcat situation, which is, you know, a great way to use your running quarterback. And so they're, you know, they got a lot of stuff, you know, and I know that they haven't shown, they couldn't show it all in one game, and so we have to be ready for a very wide spectrum of offensive style. And so you know, it's a difficult preparation in that regard.
It's a difficult preparation, Stacey, because you don't know what their tendencies are. This isn't week five, week six, and saying, hey, their favorite runs, they have four or five favorite run schemes. And yeah, they could do it a bunch of different ways, but ultimately, this is what it is. You have no idea with Cam and the Patriots what they're going to do, from jet sweeps, wildcat runs, power football. I mean, it's a difficult challenge for them, and they're going to be adjusting on the fly. So you hear Pete Carroll talk there, and he's like, you can kind of hear the, I wouldn't say nervousness, but yeah, that it is going to be a challenge, and it's going to be one that they're not necessarily going to be totally prepared for, other than the fact that they know that they're going to try and run the football. So I think that that's one where, for this group and this defensive line, and you talk about the addition of Jamal Adams, this is where he excels. You've got really good run-stopping corners in Quentin Dunbar and Shaq Griffin. I think overall it's a good matchup for the Seahawks. And now the two guys that really have to step up in this game are going to be Puna Ford and Jaren Reed. Those guys have to play at an elite level.
A reminder that the Seahawks will take on the Patriots this Sunday on 710 ESPN Seattle. That means you can hear the Mariners game in its entirety on 770 KTTH. I'm going to read you guys like three listener submissions for bold takes right before we hit the break. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. From that tall guy B, the username I was going to use were it not taken. Bold take, Seahawks win by 17. The fourth quarter will be I'm watching the game, but honestly, I'm just eating dinner kind of game. I like that. Josiah Peterson says Russ will throw 27 of 30 for 350 yards and three touchdowns. Holy cow. Seahawks win 33-21. At Nicholas J. Knight says number 32 gets two TDs. Doesn't specify whether they're rushing or receiving, but another multiple touchdown game there predicted for Chris Carson. How about this one, though? Wilson has more rushing yards than Newton. This from Eric Lougheed. And Pats commit four turnovers. I like
wow.
it.
Wow. Those are some good bold takes. I love our listeners. I love what they bring on the Vizzy Heart Seltzer text line. And thank you for responding to my tweet. You guys bring it. One more, Stacey, here real quick. Lisa Carlson, DQ, return of heart medication games here. Seahawks by three in overtime. So I hope that this one's not true. We had a handful of those last year.
I don't like that.
But it easily could turn into one of those type of games.
By a handful, you mean 10. Michael Bumpus joins us next. We're going to keep this preview of Sunday night's game going. This is Tom, Jake, and Stacey.